Dunford hasn't specified which of the joint staff's jobs he thinks the Defense Department could live without, but speaking to a forum hosted by the Center for a New American Security earlier this month, he made clear he believes some of his staff overlaps with similar work being done in the Office of the Secretary of Defense and in the military services. He says he'll likely begin discussing which staff functions to cut after the first of the year.
And I want to do this right, and probably will do this sometime after the first year, where I can actually look at people and say, look, it isn't what you're doing. You're doing a great job, but we're going to divest ourselves of these functions, because the joint staff over time, for a variety of reasons, has begun to do things that I think we can probably walk away from. I will tell you, my priority for the joint staff is to focus on the strategy, is to focus on supporting the combatant commanders. So it's force development, capability development, joint force readiness, those core areas.
Dunford says the changes will mean that the Joint Chiefs, as an institution, will pay relatively little attention to policy matters that are better left at OSD and the military departments, such as how to man, train, and equip the individual military services.
To date, I have not had a meeting with the Joint Chiefs on what I would describe as a Title 10 issue. And I don't intend on doing that except in very extraordinary cases. So I'll give you an example. Pay raise. The pay raise came up, and I provided my input as to what I thought the pay raise would be. And I talked to the Chiefs, and I say, look, if you all think we need a Joint Chiefs position on the pay raise, that's fine, but you have a vehicle to provide your input through your service chief, that through your service secretary, that then goes to the Secretary of Defense. So, you know, unless there's an extraordinary reason for what I call a Title 10 issue, we won't have Joint Chiefs positions. In my mind, we'll spend our time establishing positions on the current fight against ISIL, what our way ahead ought to be in Afghanistan. But the demands of the Joint Chiefs have been driven by others, and so they said, well, we want a Joint Chiefs position on this or that. Well, that requires a staff to actually help the chairman to form a position, and those are some of the things that have happened over time. But I am, despite the fact that people will say the organization isn't capable of making changes itself, in terms of using the principle of alignment in divesting ourselves of things that we don't think we need to do that are then, you know, either duplicated up in OSD or down in the service secretaries, I'm all in favor of doing that.
Currently, the joint staff is made up of nearly 4,000 military members and DOD civilians. About half of the current workforce was absorbed into the organization in 2011 when the military closed its Joint Forces Command in Suffolk, Virginia, and moved all but 300 of JFCOM's positions into the joint staff. Critics, including Senator John McCain, the chairman of the Senate Armed Services Committee, have seized on that example as emblematic of the fact that DOD never actually downsizes its headquarters staffs. It simply moves the positions to other organizations. During recent hearings McCain has hosted in the run-up to potential DOD reform legislation, several defense experts have pointed to similar bloat in the military's combatant commands and pointed out that most modern military operations are now overseen by single-purpose joint task forces, not the COCOMs. But Dunford says he would urge caution before diminishing the combatant command's role.
What I don't want us to do, and I'm willing to take a hard look at this, war game it, and be critical in our thinking about it, but I don't want us to take the last 14 years of what we have described as war, and it has been war, and then project that out for the next 15 or 20 years. We need to make sure that when we talk about what the combatant commanders do or don't do, we talk about what they will do or don't do across the range of military operations and not just narrowly focused in the fight against ISIL, where we have concluded that joint task forces solve all the problems for the combatant commander. I don't believe that's the case. And if you think about trans-regional, multi-domain, and multifunctional, I don't know how we'll call somebody at the four-star level that's responsible for a geographic command anything other than a warfighter. That doesn't mean we can't make some changes in our unified command plan. It doesn't mean all the combatant commanders commands have to exist in their current form. It doesn't mean the joint staff has to exist in its current form. I just want to make sure that we have the right framework within which to make recommendations and to have a debate, and we don't just take the last 14 years and say, well, aha, this is what they've been doing for the last 14 years, so automatically that's what they'll be doing over the next 15 or 20 years.
Nonetheless, Dunford says he's not philosophically opposed to shrinking the staff size of any military organization. He says bigger is not always better.
I am now growing into the staff that I have. You know, I was much happier as a colonel, where I actually knew everybody on my staff. And honestly, you have a personal relationship with them and you move at the speed of heat. And when you have a larger staff, it's much more difficult to convey your intent. It's much more difficult to come up with a process within which you can make decisions, frame decisions, and make decisions. It's much harder to have a big staff. So I think most of us would instinctively want to have a smaller staff. It's just got to be aligned to the functions that have to be performed. And I think that's the work that we have to do really pretty quickly, because Senator McCain's running pretty hard.
Yes.
And I think I have an obligation, honestly, I have an obligation to provide best military advice and inform that dialogue. It doesn't mean, as in the case of Goldwater Nichols, the department's position at that time wasn't accepted. I like to think right now that we're willing to be as innovative as anybody else is. It doesn't mean that we'll have all the good ideas, but I certainly will be receptive to those. And I'm not fighting to hang on to what we have today. I just want to make sure that we spend 80% of our time trying to solve the problem for tomorrow, and then 20% of our time developing the wire diagram and talking about how big we ought to be. That would be my only appeal, really, in this debate, is to do that.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.